It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
You think the streak will be over tonight and you'll get cheered instead of booed? Or
are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app. Now on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, back in Toronto.
Freezing
in here.
And I'll never complain about being hot in here again, because this is insane.
This is something else. This is a meat locker.
It's honestly 2 or 3 degrees in here.
Like, I thought we could see our breath.
It's outrageous. Like, it's almost like a penalty. We're going to send you guys to Chicago. You're going to really enjoy yourselves. And then when you come home, you have to do 3 hours in a meat locker. And I'm going to get sick. I'm soft as butter. I've said this many times. But if I do get
you
sick...
You can't get sick from one shift.
If you get sick, the Leafs are going to make a big trade.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. So maybe if I do get sick, all of a sudden Jacob Trouba's coming to Toronto.
Wednesday.
Although if I do get sick, I'm not going to call my doctor's office, because I was talking to them today. I had to book an appointment.
Yeah.
And I've been dealing with these allergies and stuff, so I called in, and they asked me for a breakdown, and they said, okay, the nurse will call you back. Nurse calls me back, okay? She asked me to break down my symptoms, what's going on, and she's like, yeah, I can't really think of anything else other than what we suggested last time. What do you think it is? I'm like, you got to understand something. I'm calling you to get the answer.
I'm not a doctor.
I don't have a clue. And if you want me to, I'll start Googling, and then guess what's going to happen? I'm going to come back with the most...
You say you have SARS.
I've got Zika or something.
Yeah.
And you don't want that to happen, because then we're really in trouble.
Exactly.
What do you think it is?
Well, you should have
From
hung
a
up.
Nurse.
From a nurse.
You should have just hung up on
me. That's what I... Now we're going to hung up.
The old hang up?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Dirk will join us here in a moment. We'll look back in the Jays' weekend, look ahead to a big series with Baltimore in town tomorrow, then Boston, New York, and 4 against Houston next week. So the next 13 games, needless to say...
Game 7s.
Big games, a lot of Game 7s. We did survive Chicago. We enjoyed ourselves down there. It's a great town, great sports town.
The deep dish was outstanding.
The deep dish was outstanding. That's a unanimous call from the three of us. And we need more... The thing is about Chicago, it really has an identity. There are certain things you have to do when you go there. You've got to get deep dish. You've got to get Chicago popcorn. You got to hit one of their famous steakhouses. It's a great sports town.
Man, is there steakhouses in Chicago.
The restaurants there are ridiculous.
Everywhere
you
turn. Everywhere you turn, there's a famous steakhouse.
I'm telling you, it would take you 5 years to eat at all the good spots there. Like, it's every corner. There's just...
I loved it, though.
It's an awesome city. It's officially really moved past New York. That's my favorite place.
It's your number one spot in the States?
Yeah.
I still enjoy New York.
I love Manhattan. Yeah, I would still go New York 1.
No. Chicago just surpassed.
So you're Chicago, New York, what, L.A.?
I love me some L.A.
What about Nashville? Where is that on your pecking order?
Nashville's different, though, because it's one strip.
Yeah.
The rest of Nashville is hot garbage. Like, it really is. There's nothing to it other than the one strip. Wow. Now, the one strip gives you enough for 2 or 3 days. But beyond that, you're not going down there for... There's nothing touristy about Nashville. Go to the Grand Ole Opry, catch some music, maybe go see a football game. But beyond that, there's not much to it.
See, I love country music, so that's why it's high on my list.
High on your list.
Vegas is very high.
Vegas should be.
I'll take a Vegas.
I'll give you an answer on that down the road. But yeah, it was a fun weekend. I think we were all expecting or maybe hoping the Leafs would do more.
Yeah.
But... They didn't, and they didn't force anything. I mean, there's two ways to look at the fact that they didn't end up landing Travis Hamonic. And they were in on Hamonic. What the price was, people are reporting different things. Steve Simmons reporting it was going to be JVR in a first. Pierre LeBrun came in and said he couldn't find out exactly what the price tag was necessarily. But, yeah, you didn't make a move.
Right.
So you didn't necessarily improve your team right now, but you also didn't make a move that's going to hurt your team long term.
Exactly.
They didn't put themselves in a position where they overpaid for something, where we're sitting here today wondering what Lou Lamoriello was thinking.
I agree.
You know, and they've still got a lot of time. The season begins next October. Doesn't start next week.
And
the Leafs still have time to figure this out.
They do. And like I said earlier, this is a team that is dealing with from a position of strength, and that hasn't been the case in a long time because now they've figured out what they have in their young players, the young three up-and-coming stars or slash superstars. And then you've got a starting goaltender. You've got 3D that you believe in and think that there's maybe more there. Now you're looking to add, it's not bit pieces, but you're looking to round your team out. You don't need to overspend for something. That could come either organically from inside the organization. It may not, and chances are it's not. Or you can wait on teams and selling prices to come down a bit.
See what else is out there via trade. I don't see much via free agency that they're going to get in on. No. That's really going to make a difference.
Nothing.
Yeah, they're not going to sign Shattenkirk. I can't see it. Carl Alsner, I'm not sure if that'll be a fit. They might kick tires on him. But beyond that, you're talking about third-pairing guys for the most part. Mm-hmm. So guys who may contribute, and I think they'll have to look to that market, but aren't going to truly change the fortunes of your team. But as I said in the first hour, with the Simmons report that it was a first in a JVR, I think the more significant piece there is the first-round pick. Because for the previous 3 or 4 years, the Leafs were not going to trade first-round picks because right. They knew they weren't good enough. They knew it was not going to be smart for business because it could come back and haunt them, and they end up trading away the first overall pick or fourth overall pick or fifth overall pick. If it gets to a point, or if it has already got to this point, where they're willing to trade a first-rounder, that says a lot about how confident they are in their team.
Yeah.
That tells me...
Or their ability to be patient.
Exactly. Like, we don't need to be patient anymore. We do have what it takes. And if we're going to hand over a first-round pick, it's going to be the 23rd pick overall. We're not worried it's going to be the third pick overall.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it goes between now and the beginning of next season, but... Hey, they drafted that Liljegren kid 17th overall, and maybe the hopes are that he can be an impact player for them down the road.
Sure.
That's all you can ask for. I mean, 17th overall.
Sounds like he's a good player. Needs development, and give him a year back home, bring him back over here following year, and see if he can either settle in at the AHL or maybe he cracks the big team. But I think he's still a guy who projects to have upside.
Can he play in the AHL next year?
He could. He could play in, absolutely. Coming from Europe, he could walk right in, but it doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. And listen, Leaf fans have been spoiled. Matthews, Marner, Nylander, the previous three drafts. I think you got to be careful in terms of what the expectation is.
Yeah.
Jays dropped 2 of 3 over the weekend. The bigger story, really, though, revolving around their young closer, Roberto Osuna, was not available to pitch on Friday night. No one knew why. Mm-hmm. And the team melted down without him in the ninth inning. The next day, we found out he had been suffering with some anxiety issues and just was not in a position to pitch. It was great to see him out there last night. To chat about that, among some other things, we're joined now by Dirk Hayhurst, our baseball insider, and it's brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. How do you think this Osuna situation was handled by the Jays over the weekend, Dirk?
Well, I really think there's only a few ways that you can handle it. You know, this is not an injury where you can say, we're going to put you on the DL, we're going to treat you, and then... You know, in 10 days, 14 days, you're going to be right as rain. You're going to go right back out there. You know, this is something that Osuna is going to take off the field with him. Indeed, he will take it with him everywhere he goes for the rest of his life. He's probably taken it with him up to this point. So if you're the Blue Jays, you know, and you've got an irreplaceable asset on your team that is dealing with something, even something as nebulous and often misunderstood as a mental health issue, you need to give them the latitude to work through that because there is just too many options for someone who feels like they're caged, even in a place like the major leagues where you have access to everything, to get yourself in trouble. And oftentimes the case is, you know, let's just put this in perspective. If you're a roster fringe guy and you're dealing with something like a mental issue, you're not going to tell anyone you're dealing with it. And the consequence there is going to be you're going to treat it the way that's become commonplace at the major league level or any masculine-dominated environment where strength and confidence and assertiveness are commodities that are highly valued. You're going to suffer in silence. You're going to treat with alcohol or painkillers or pills or something, or you're going to find a way to express it that's unhealthy. So I think the Blue Jays, by saying, you know what, we'll take the short-term loss. we'll let this young man have as much time as he needs and let him know we're behind him. And that way it'll put him on a healthy track in case if this does happen to be an issue again, we're going to support him and we're going to work with him on that because the alternative is some kind of destructive means to an end which could damage the Blue Jays, this young man, and the reputation of sports in general.
Are you surprised he kind of came out and listed his issue? We were talking about it earlier, Dirk, and it was like, as the athlete, you don't want to give the team any ammunition to come out and like, you just say, I'm having some issues, but you don't say anything. Are you surprised he actually told everyone what his problems were?
Well, I am, actually. And I think that highlights a point that you and I know. It's you really don't want to give a team any reason to have the upper hand on you. I mean, when things are going good, you can say anything you want.
Yeah.
And this is a major play for Osuna that we're not talking about it now because this is a young star. But let's say that, you know, he starts to struggle a bit, and then he has an anxiety issue. The narrative will shift, especially in the role of closer, right? Even though these two things aren't really correlated. I mean, when I was playing, I had mental health issues, and when I was playing, I longed for the moment when I could be on field because you live in the moment when you're out there. You don't have to worry about, you know, the war that's going on in your head, right? But when things are going bad, what will happen is, and maybe we'll do it when we're on here, we'll say, well, we know he struggles with anxiety and mental issues, and that could be a factor, and it brands you. It's a scarlet letter. So for me, this shows two things. One, this young man is incredibly strong to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's not weakness to admit to the world that you have an issue. It's strength to be honest. And the other is, it must have been pretty intense because the burden is heavy and the cost is real to admit this kind of thing in those exact kind of terms into the public.
Yeah, I agree. And we were talking about it in the last hour, Dirk, about how you manage it. And I think, you know, 20 years ago, it would be a lot different than it is in today's world. And you just said one word is honesty. And I'll even go a bit further, transparency, because moving forward, if you're the Blue Jays, you understand you want to get this young man some help and all the support that he needs, but it's still a business. So when he comes back, if you're Gibby, you're going to need that transparency to put him back in the lineup, and especially in key situations where he may need him, he has to be honest with the manager as well. Is that true?
Well, you know, honestly, what you want in any workplace is the ability to feel like you can be transparent with your employer and that they will have your best interest in mind. And I think that there's a fine point put on that at the major league level where, you know, we have a very big series on the line or, you know, a World Series, and you want to know that the guy that you're putting in the toughest, most pressure-filled situation is in a good headspace. And you don't want to discredit him or devalue him or say that, well, I mean, you're dealing with some undiagnosable, unquantifiable weakness. I can't trust you. That's a waste, and that's ignorant. I mean, we need to know how to deal with those things. And it's not just Osuna. I mean, people that suffer with this are in situations that are critical to the success of their lives every day. And I think that's why Osuna speaking up is great for everyone. Because now you have an irreplaceable product saying, I need to work through this. I need help. And it brings attention to these issues. And I know one of the things that just isn't talked about enough is the fact that, and I'm sure you've had callers, you've seen tweeters say, like, you know, what does this kid have to be anxious or sad or confused about or feel lost? He's at the big league. Well, the truth is, think about being at the big league level and not having the capacity to enjoy or appreciate it. What's the point? You know, if he leaves the field after he closes out a major series and everybody loves him, but he looks at the mirror and he doesn't know who he is and he hates himself or he feels uncomfortable or he feels an impending sense of panic and dread for no reason, why bother? I mean, what value does life really have when that's how you feel about yourself? And when you have someone like Osuna, and it's not intentional, he's not saying, I want to be the champion of people who have mental illness. It's not what he's trying to do. But when you have somebody who's loved and appreciated and respected like him, coming out and saying, I want to deal with this transparently, it suddenly makes it that much easier of a burden for everyone else who deals with it to lift.
With Dirk Ayers, our Jays analyst, with Osuna not available on Friday, it really put the spotlight on the rest of the bullpen and once again put the spotlight on Jason Grilly. And Grilly's been a whipping boy this year, and he continues to not disappoint, but fail in the biggest moments. I mean, they need more out of him. They needed more out of him. And I'm curious to find out how this Osuna situation plays out in terms of the way the team reacts to Grilly. If he continues at this pace, I can't imagine he's still on the roster at the end of the year. How do you feel about where this is going for Grilly and how the Jays will end up dealing with it?
Well, I think that Ross Atkins and the Jays in general, I mean, they made statements last week about how they're constantly trying to find a way to improve, and they're not even thinking about, not going all in or not going for it. And yet they're also covering all their bases, which also makes you realize they are actually thinking about it. They're just not putting it at the forefront. But you think, where is the real capacity for this team to improve given the resources they have now? And they're going to have to give to get. You're probably going to see that at the top, and you probably won't even notice it at the bottom because so few guys are close to making it to the big leagues. So when I think about Jason Grilly, I think, now here's a clear place where the Jays are going to have to figure out something. I mean, even if they're not in contention this year, if they're just thinking about building up for next year, they do somehow sneak back into it, this is where they're going to need help. Because you can't have an older veteran guy who's there to kind of keep this kind of cool presence, this cooler effect coming out of your bullpen. It can't be trusted in big situations and suddenly is out pitching, get no outs. You know, and it seems like when the pressure's on, that big curveball ain't fooling anyone anymore. So I think the Jays are well aware of this, and given the Osuna situation, and I hesitate to say it's a situation, but that's the duality of being in sports, right? I mean, this guy is dealing with a very personal issue that I respect him for. But at the end of the day, the Blue Jays still have to quantify variables and see how they're going to compete. So this gets filed under that. So given that Osuna is working through something, as cruel as it sounds, they do have to hedge their bet here and say, what if Osuna's down and Grilly never recovers? Well, it's pretty obvious we're going to need help, and that would be the prudent decision.
With Dirk Hayhurst, it feels like we've done this 45 times already this year or ever since that 2-11 start.
Biggest stretch of the year.
Stretch of the year, man. This is one where they really got to dig themselves out of it, and it's being applied again starting tomorrow night. Baltimore's in town, and they've been just melting down over the past month or so. And then they've got three against Boston, three against the Yankees, four against Houston. So three of probably the three best teams in the American League are real close to it, certainly Houston. How would you handicap the Jays' chances of going over 500 over these next 13 games?
Well, I know, guys, I hate to say it, but I don't think it's the Blue Jays' decision to make. You know, we've seen this team at the worst of times perform about as good as it performs when it's got the best of times out there. You know, it just seems to struggle to escape the gravity of what, you know, sub 500, like 480 or whatever it is. And I don't think that's going to get any easier. You know, really, and I said this early on, it's getting to the point, and I said this months ago, that it's no longer about how good the Jays can play. It's now about how bad the opponents in front of them can play. And when you're talking about a team like the Yankees, as hot, full young sluggers, that the Red Sox are starting to wake up. That engine's starting to turn now. And the Astros, on day one, that engine was already revving hot. And these are the teams now that are going to be in a bloodbath scenario come the end of the season. And the Jays cannot go into this and say, oh, golly gee, I hope. I mean, they have to go in there and they have to show up. The hitting has to start being productive. Guys have to start finding their swings again. You know, pitching has to be on a very fine point, a very low margin of error at this point. So, like, these teams are good teams. And if the Jays cannot beat these teams or at least walk away with 500, I'm taking my cash off the table and walking out of the season, because I just don't see them turning around. If they can't do it when the pressure's on now, it's only going to get more pressure-packed as the season progresses.
Yeah, by that point, you're into mid-July, give or take, and you're down to about half the season, and you're only a few weeks away from the trade deadline as well. So I don't disagree with that, and I don't love their chances just based on the material they've shown us throughout the first 2.5 months. They've been a very mediocre team. Thank you, Dirk. Always appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
Dirk Hayhurst, our baseball insider, brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln. Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville. We've got a LeVar Ball update.
Really?
For Monday Night Raw. We'll tell you a little bit about that.
No, we won't.
Yes, we will. We'll be talking about it.
We're watching it tonight. We're going to break it down tomorrow.
I might watch Raw for the first time in 15 years.
I've never watched it.
I'll bet you watch it tonight.
Does this guy understand? I just saw a picture of him on Twitter. That big baller logo he came up with is so pathetic. So pathetic.
Well, he's going to get some love tonight because he is backstage. He's at Raw. But I think Lonzo Ball is going to be a part of it tonight, too. So nice of LeVar to bring his kid out.
Yeah, exactly.
And include him in this big production tonight. We'll talk about how the Lakers are going to respond to this. Because remember, everyone said, wait until they draft him. Then they're going to have the conversation.
Dad, go away.
Well, now LeVar and Lonzo allegedly or reportedly going to be on Monday Night Raw tonight.
If I just drafted a guy and he said he was going on Monday Night Raw, I would say, actually, no, you're not. Don't even start with this.
All right. We'll come back. We'll
discuss it. I'd tell one of the wrestlers to break a chair over his back, a fake chair.
Well, that's where I would be concerned. Imagine this guy's jumping off the top rope. Blows his knee out, exactly. Never plays for the Lakers.
Top rope, blows his knee out, done, career over.
See you later. Thanks for coming out. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Big week down here at TSN, big week in the NHL. Don't forget, TSN 1050's Free Agent Frenzy is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Test drive the superior performance of a Subaru today. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app. Don't forget to set your PVRs on TSN 2. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca. Check us out on iTunes. Tonight is... it's a different night in Toronto because the Jays are off.
Right.
We know the Leafs are off. We know the Raptors are off. But Drake is in action tonight. We're talking about Chicago and how, you know, great Chicago sports figures, they all have restaurants down there.
Exactly.
Drake is a Toronto legend.
Icon.
He's got his own spot down on King.
What's it called again? Is it called Drake's?
No, it's called Frings, I think.
Okay.
Something like that.
Apparently it's a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I've heard it's a great spot.
Duffy went there a couple weeks ago.
A couple big shots.
Duffy is a big shooter.
He is a big shooter.
But Drake is hosting the NBA Awards tonight, which will be way better than the NHL Awards.
Let's try to come up with some kind of rating or comparison.
Wow, it'll be...
Dude, by the way, Drake hosted the ESPYs a few years ago, and he made the room so uncomfortable.
Why, what did he do?
He did a song about athletes and their side pieces. And every athlete was sitting in the crowd with their spouse, like, this guy needs to shut up right now.
Yeah, it was
See
called,
if you can come up with any audio of that, Mark.
It was called Side Pieces. But that's the thing. Drake is a genuinely talented guy.
Oh,
he came up on Degrassi. Like, he's acted before. He does really quality stuff on SNL.
Wasn't he Jimmy?
I don't know. I never watched that version of Degrassi. I've never been a Degrassi guy, period. Yeah, he was in a wheelchair.
And I think he was Jimmy. His name was Jimmy, I think. Maybe. I'm not lying.
Like, Jimmy's got a compound fracture?
No.
Jimmy's going to get Kramer?
I think his name was Jimmy on Degrassi. My buddy has a t-shirt of it.
Okay. I have no idea, but you could be right. But anyway, Drake is a talented guy.
He's been on TV. He's a rapper.
He'll do really well tonight, I guarantee
you. I've told you my philosophy on Drake. I think he's ultra talented. I think he's a superstar. The only thing that bothers me is he acts like a jock sniffer, and that drives me nuts because he's the athlete should be kissing his ass.
All right, what would you rather watch tonight? Drake perform at the NBA Awards?
Drake.
Or Lonzo Ball?
Or LeVar and Lonzo Ball at WWE
That's
Raw?
That's a coin flip.
Or Monday Night Raw, because apparently it's happening. LeVar Ball is showing up at Monday Night Raw in L.A. tonight. Our boy Brent, who lives down there, I guess, he said he's going to be ringside tonight. He's going to make an overdrive sign.
Wow.
That would be sweet.
Make an overdrive sign,
yeah,
for
if you
sure.
can make an overdrive sign and it can get on Monday Night Raw tonight, we will make
Where
you...
Where is it? In L.A., obviously?
Yeah, he lives in L.A.
See, that's why he's going to show up there. If it was in Texas, he's not doing it.
Who, LeVar Ball? Well, of course
well,
not.
Lonzo, but that's what I'm saying. I had no idea. I thought it was in some obscure town down south.
LeVar Ball is hated everywhere, and by extension, his son Lonzo hated everywhere outside of L.A., I would presume. Okay. But that's an interesting question. Will LeVar Ball get booed in L.A.? Like, are there Laker fans who are like, can you please stop talking? We don't want to hear from you anymore.
No, he's... I think
the guy
he's
single-handedly
a good
has turned himself into a celebrity. It's ridiculous.
Well, he's a Kardashian.
It's Kardashian-like, but he's turned himself into a famous person in the world. It's ridiculous.
Aren't you a supporter of the Kardashians?
I am.
So why aren't you
I think they're nice. I think they're very good looking, and I think they're nice people.
Why aren't you a supporter of LeVar Ball?
I just think he's an idiot.
But he's used the same playbook. He's not in a sex tape.
Like, he's using his son.
Essentially the same...
Don't bash someone for having a sex tape.
Okay, but the Kardashians are using their dad's name, who right. became prominent in the OJ trials.
And then one of them had a sex tape with Ray J.
Right.
And
now married to Kanye.
Like, it just is... They became famous for something they did infamously.
Well, that takes no talent. Right. And LeVar Ball, same thing. Like, essentially... In a weird way, his sex tape is Lonzo Ball because he had a kid who turned out to be a great talent. And what did he do?
LeVar.
We all know what he did.
LeVar acts like he could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one.
He says that, and now he's out there saying his boy Lonzo would beat him one-on-one as well in their primes.
Michael Jordan's like 55 years old. He should be able to beat him right now.
He couldn't beat LeVar. LeVar's 50-something, too, I would assume, or 40-something.
It's so weird.
But anyway, so it sounds like he's on Monday Night Raw tonight. Drake's on the NBA Awards show. And Tim Tebow's making his way up to high A ball in St. Lucie, Florida. He was hitting 220. Leading the team in errors, 6 years older than anyone else on the team.
Why did he get called up?
It's a publicity stunt. Tebow is LeVar Ball, is Khloe Kardashian, is, you know, Johnny Manziel. They're all connected. They can't do anything that really matters, but they're a big name that people are interested in. So, and Tebow, what he's done is he sold a lot of tickets. Everywhere he goes, they sell out. And the Mets, I'm sure this was a part of the program. We'll move you up regardless of how you're playing, because now he's going to Florida. And you know people down there are going to want to watch him play.
For sure.
And he can't hit in low A ball. Now he's going to high A ball. He's going to get smoked.
What if he just cracks dingers? And I wish the guy had a little bit of...
I'm a super sports fan. I would not go see Tim Tebow play A ball.
Well, you went and saw two of the worst major league teams play the other day.
Still the major leagues, man.
That's true.
It is the majors. But the thing is, these tickets are probably like $12.
Yeah,
you wouldn't pay $12 to go see Tebow?
No, it's a non-factor.
I don't think he's famous.
In my life.
Like, talk about
You would pay $12 to go watch Tim Tebow play baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. Just for the novelty of it, to be able to say I saw him play. Like, I think that's what people are doing. They're like, I got to go see this. It's
so our Overdrive fan is going to go to Raw tonight just to see Lonzo and LeVar Ball.
I guess maybe he's a Lakers fan. Or maybe he's going to boo LeVar Ball. Maybe he hates on the Lakers. Maybe he's a Clippers fan.
You never know. But it's just, it is a little bit weird.
I would love to know what Magic Johnson feels about this. Because Magic now running the operation in L.A. with the Lakers. They took him second overall. He's essentially their poster boy.
Yeah.
Right off the hop. And, you know, it sounds like he's going out tonight. I don't know what you can do. Like, what? I don't think they've locked him down on a contract yet.
Right.
You know, you're still allowed to live your life. Rob Gronkowski goes on Raw all the time. He was at WrestleMania. Now, Gronkowski's won rings, he's a Hall of Famer more than likely, but I don't know.
That guy's a beauty.
He's a different cat. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, four NHL players going in this year. Teemu Selanne, everyone saw that coming.
Lock.
Paul Kariya, Dave Vanderchuk, Mark Recchi. They were on the ballot for a long time. And...
I think Kariya would have been a lock had he played a little bit longer for me.
So he's kind of like a Cam Neely for you?
Neely for, like, I always, when I think of Hall of Famers, I think of guys who were special and you had to circle on the board. Kariya was a guy that I circled on the board personally, playing against him because he was a threat every night. He was a true pro, worked really hard. I think if you look at his numbers, they're pretty impressive. I just...
No disrespect to the other two guys, but I just think they're almost like really, really good players that have unbelievable numbers.
Yeah.
I would put Daniel Alfredson ahead of all three of them. If I were ranking, I'd go Solani 1, clearly.
Yeah.
Alfredson 2. And then I might go Kariya 3 because of what you said with the injuries.
Yeah.
Vanderchuk and Recchi racked up tons of points, tons of goals. Like, very, very good to great players. But spectacular Hall of Fame, I don't know if I ever saw it. And that's not being disrespectful.
Well, Steve Simmons said it best. He's like, what is it, the Hall of Fame or is it the Hall of Very Good?
Exactly. And this is the thing about Alfredson. Like, he didn't get in. He feels like more of a Hall of Famer than Kariya, Vanderchuk, or Recchi to me. But based on the system and the standard of the voting committee, I'm not surprised he wasn't a first ballot guy. Now, right. I don't agree with that logic. I've said this for years. I think there should be an unlimited amount of people that can get in any given year. Right. And that means if there's zero, there's zero. If there's 10, there's 10.
Right.
But for me, I think Alfredson's a Hall of Famer. I would put him in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why he's got to wait a year, well, or maybe he's got to wait three or four for it to be a quote-unquote down year. I don't know how you sit there and say all of a sudden Recky, Correa, and Andrzejczyk are in, but Alfredson, who I feel like should be, right. even though it's his first time, well, isn't in, so he's got to wait now.
I Andrzejczyk, strictly on the numbers, should have been in. This guy had 640 goals.
I know, it's insane.
Like that, I don't care how you got him. The guy scored 640 goals in the NHL. To me, that's Hall of Fame stat. I know he played, looking at his stats, 1,639 games. So you're looking at points per game.
Recky, the same thing. He's like 11th or 12th all-time at points, but he played like 1,600 games.
1,652 games, 577 goals, 1,533 points. I know. It's hard. I think of a guy like Andrzejczyk, again, as a former goalie. The guy was dangerous because he always scored, night in and night out. He scored 50 goals here in Toronto, did he not?
Yeah, he did. One of only three.
If you say Daniel Alfredson's a Hall of Famer, if Daniel Alfredson's a Hall of Famer, Jeremy Roenick sure as hell is a Hall of Famer.
He's not even in the running anymore. Like, he doesn't even get brought up.
Here's the thing that I...
You think Daniel Alfredson deserves to go in the Hall of Fame before Jeremy Roenick?
Well, I think we're...
Yeah,
we're,
probably. I mean, I'd have to break their careers down. It's easy to hate on Alfredson because of the
I don't hate on him. He was a fantastic player, but I don't think he was a better player than Jeremy Roenick.
You don't see him as a better player?
No.
I see...
Trust me, I played against both of them.
I just think...
Okay, you're going to play the I played card?
No, but Roenick was just a different player. I think Roenick was more impactful because if he didn't score that night, he could beat the hell out of you, or he was that type of player. He was kind of your
card.
He was like a five-tool player type of thing. Because he was like a smaller Shanny, a smaller Iginla, that type of player.
Listen, we're talking about great players. Anyone that's on the cusp is a great player. It's not insulting.
Here's the one thing, and I've said this all along, and I truly believe this. Time makes a lot of these players better, if that makes sense. Because they're in our generation. So you saw Daniel Alfredson up close and personal a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When JR was out in Phoenix and his, you know,
listen, he torched the Leafs. He was the last guy to score against the Leafs before the lockout.
I agree. All I'm saying is that when you start to look at the numbers 10 years from now, you know, a guy, and I'll say this, a guy like Chris Osgood will be better 10 years from now than he is right now because recency, you'll be saying, well, he played with a bunch of Hall of Famers. And a guy had 400 wins in the
league. This is why I think, and this is very difficult for a lot of people to adhere to, and certainly those that are so overly committed to the stats,
right?
I think there has to be a feel factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to feel like a Hall of Famer. There has to be something about you that feels like a Hall of Famer.
Like special.
And that's why Chris Osgood will never be a Hall of Famer for me. I don't care how many years we go down the road.
Right.
He never felt like a Hall of Famer.
I agree.
I think the same thing applies with a couple of these guys. And that's where, you know, it's very difficult to explain it. But the truth is, the Hall of Fame, they don't explain it anyway because they don't publicize the list or who got voted or who voted for what.
Rogi Vachon all of a sudden is in, right? Rogi got better as time went on. That's what I'm saying. Chris Osgood could be Rogi Vachon 20 years from now.
He could be, but it doesn't change the feel, though, is my point.
Don't you think there should just be a cutoff, like two times around or certain amount of years, and then it's like
one shot at getting in.
But
you're either
a
Hall of Famer or not.
You know why? There's not enough slots.
No, but you can change that, though.
That's what I'm saying.
They can do whatever they want. It's their own rules.
However many people necessary, the year they're eligible, absolutely, they all go in. And then after that, you're done.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree 100%. But that's the point. When you've got four and now you're splitting hair. Like, the fact that it took Eric Lindros to roll through a couple times, I thought was ridiculous.
He was a Hall of Famer. He felt like a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
I think there was years that he wasn't even talked about, let alone voted on.
Right. Now, a lot of that was political, I think, as well.
I think there was
how people felt about him, the way he came into the league.
Well, that's a whole different story about how ridiculous that is.
Right. But you know that, I mean, the voters are human, too, and they're going to take that into consideration. But I remember talking about Jack Morris. And Jack Morris was a superstar pitcher, but he never got into the Hall of Fame because his numbers never looked great. And the sabermetrics in baseball actually highlighted that. It got worse for him because his career ERA was whatever it was, and his strikeout rate, or whatever it
was. Right,
right. And the Sabermetrics got into it, and they're like, no, he's not. Look at his numbers. But I was talking to a guy, I can't remember who it was. Might have been Dave Zirin. And Dave was a New Yorker, and he grew up in New York. And he's like, all I can tell you is, whenever Jack Morris was in New York, the whole city was buzzing because Jack Morris was pitching in New York. Like, that's a Hall of Fame.
Special, yeah. You know what I mean?
He was a great, and his numbers were still great, don't get me wrong. Right. But there was something, it was like, that's Jack Morris. Like, this is a guy you got to see. He's great. He does this, that, and the other.
Right. For me, it was Roger Clemens. If there was a buzz in New York City, Roger Clemens was on the mound.
And Clemens, exactly.
Here's one closer to home for you guys, Cujo.
I don't think so. Like, I love Cujo, but was did he have a Hall of Fame feel to him? I don't know if he had a Hall of Fame feel.
He's close.
For me. He's
fifth in wins for gold.
His numbers are spectacular.
How the hell is he not in the Hall of Fame if you're fourth in wins?
And 943 games played.
Fourth!
I hear you, man.
I know.
I hear you.
It depends on what you value, but it comes back to the people voting. There's no formula. A lot of times there's, you know, them battling for each other. I would love to see be a fly on that wall inside the room. Because I think there's some really smart people in the room that go over it. They're not just sitting there over a beer and throwing names against the wall. Like, they're...
Oh, of course.
They're grinding it out.
It happens every year, right?
But like it's a great debate, and I agree with you. I think there's a lot of really good, great players, but the word that I used with Hall of Famers are special. There had to have been something special about them. That was either terrifying or as a goaltender, you knew this guy was going to bring it every night. Like, JR was kind of on that cusp because he could physically get involved, but he could score. I think Alfie was a guy, too, that you'd circle before the game, but I don't know if you were terrified of him or he was just a really great player. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you guys, you were on the ice with him, but...
Thurin Fleury's another guy. Battled the odds, small guy, played in a big man's game back then, and put up some pretty darn good numbers.
Yeah, he had great numbers.
It's just, that's why I think as time goes on, people start to look at different things. But we all remember because we've seen these guys play. Like, I can't tell you about, you know, a goaltender that was in the 60s. I didn't watch him
right,
play.
Right, exactly.
So we can look at, it's almost like that list that you did, that top 100 list.
With the Leafs,
yeah,
it was very difficult.
You're looking at a guy played in 33 or whatever, and you're trying to figure things out.
But you had to be fair to them,
right?
At the same time, because even though that's when they played, you can't hold it against them. If the guy won the Art Ross and the MVP, I would say he probably deserves some love,
right?
You know, and that's where it gets difficult.
It does.
That's why it's impossible to truly compare eras.
No.
Because you can't.
You can't do it.
You cannot do it.
Well,
you can barely do it with modern eras, let alone going way back.
I never watched Bobby Orr. Like, we didn't watch him live. But you just assume.
You just accept he's the greatest defenseman ever. I mean, right. There's also nothing wrong with accepting the opinions of older hockey fans.
Yeah, my father would, you know.
Exactly. That knew what they were talking about, too.
Absolutely.
You know, and if they're going to go to bat for it. But ultimately, everyone is going to be biased for their own generation.
Right.
You know, I am biased that Tiger's the greatest, that LeBron's the greatest, that, you know.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, and guess what? The guy who watched Jack Nicklaus and watched Jordan or whatever would sit there and say, actually, no, it's not, because this guy was that. And the truth is, they're all great.
Exactly.
So, anyway. All right, we'll get to our best bets, 3 stars. Keep teeing up Monday Night Raw and the NBA Awards show tonight.
Ooh.
What's going on over there?
Not much.
You all good?
All good.
Freezing in studio.
It's honestly, I'm sending out a warning shot. If it's like this when I walk in tomorrow, I walk right out. Understood?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't know if we can do this. I don't know if I can do this another day. It's actually legitimately freezing.
I'm wearing a coat.
Yeah, and you're from Western Canada.
Yeah.
You're from St. Albert.
I'm used to this.
This is your wheelhouse.
It's gone soft.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Gum in. I've never done radio before with gum.
What'd that do? Warm you up?
I'm trying to warm up.
So like in the last Harry and Lloyd. The last 5 minutes of the show, now you're going to try and warm up.
Can you imagine if one of us had 2 pairs of gloves on like Lloyd? And right at the end, we're like,
it's so hot. It's so hot. Yeah, you can
here, have these. Hair. It's freezing. We are in Aspen. Hair. Yeah, I've never chewed gum on the air.
Well, sound all right. I'm fine with it.
Thank you. I think I'm an obnoxious gum chewer.
Like loud and you smack
it? Yeah, like,
it.
You know, like a cow chewing grass.
Yeah.
Like some people good. Can get away with it and kind of be discreet. I'm not. I'm like a really obnoxious gum chewer.
I was watching a YouTube clip of David Grohl and the Foo Fighters in a concert, and he was talking to the crowd and he was chewing gum. I'm like, how's this guy sing? And he's chewing gum.
Crazy, huh?
It was awesome, though. I became a bigger fan of his just because of that. And I was watching that YouTube clip yesterday.
They got a new album out, don't they? Yeah, they're coming out with a new one, I think.
I get caught in these like rabbit holes. Like you, all of a sudden you're watching something and it rolls into something else. And I don't know, David Grohl talking about it. I think he broke his leg on stage or whatever.
Yeah, and he bombed out in a wheelchair.
Wheelchair and sat, and then he went back. It was to the scene of the crime again, and he was talking about it. It was pretty cool.
All right.
I got a lot of time for him.
Yeah, I'm a big Dave Grohl fan. Yeah. I'm a big Foo Fighters fan. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Under the number in the Red Sox Twins game tonight, I'm on the Yankees, who are going to get past the White Sox tonight. And Colorado, man, I think they've lost 5 in a row, but they are the quietest, solid team in Major League Baseball outside of the team they're chasing, and that would be the Arizona Diamondbacks. I was looking at some stuff about the Dodgers today because they got that Bellinger rookie who's just lighting the league on fire, and we're talking about Brandon McCarthy and the Yips.
Right.
So I was tracking what was going on with the Dodgers today. Arizona, the Diamondbacks are 48-28. 48-28. Nobody talks about them. That is the quietest 48-28 I've ever heard of in my life.
That is impressive.
Colorado's 47-31, and they've lost 5 in a row. They were 47-26. And no one's talking about it. Everyone's focused on the Dodgers, obviously. Bigger market, more history.
Right.
But the Rockies get back at it tonight in San Fran. Throw down 20 and you can score 76. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. The big cat, he had enough. He got too cold and too disappointed. It's his final week.
He literally marched right out the door.
He's out of here.
Had enough.
But you want to get to the three stars here quickly?
I think we should get
Overdrive. Three stars of the day.
First star, all three of us for sitting in a meat locker for 3 hours.
I've got an anti-star.
Okay.
Whoever runs the temperature in the studio. Anti-star. Yes,
for sure.
I mean, you rattled the big guy's cage to the point where he said, I got to get
That's
out
it.
Of here.
He's had enough. Second star, I'll go with Dirk Hayhurst for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dirk was good. Star. And Pierre joining us in studio.
Yes, Pierre.
And Dougie Gilmore, let's be honest.
Dougie G.
Dougie G called in and said he'd give us an A+
and I'm
on the show this year.
I'm going to give a potential first star to Toronto Brent, who's going to be at, what is it?
Monday Night Raw tonight. Maybe with an overdrive sign.
If he has an overdrive sign, he gets a first star.
You'll be first star for the rest of the year if you do that. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.